Chapter 3. Darrow. Storm God. Owing to its traumatic rebirth, Mercury is a temperamental planet of moods and stark climate zones. Deeming it easier to change a planet than human nature, gold world makers employed mass drivers on Mercury to alter her rotational period to match Earth's. Such heavy-handed terraforming is sometimes necessary, but it leaves visible seams. At the seam where the Sycorax Sea meets the polar ice, steam seeps from the wide mouth, Parnassus's blacksmith's cut, into the facade of a glacier. Landing lights invite us into the glacier, where a makeshift industrial world bustles around an excavation site. As we land, the sprawling barracks and engineering garages and mess halls on the floor look like toy blocks compared to the mass of metal being dug out of the ice. The ancient engine looks like an upside-down turtle shell pierced with a trident. Imperator Cardus Harnassus, the Terran hero of old Tokyo, meets me on the sand-strewn tarmac. He is a geode of a man, slump-shouldered, slow-walking, with umber skin and a bulbous drinker's nose set in a face that looks increasingly like an angry puppy's the deeper he plunges into his 50s, all of which belies the intricate intelligence of a star-shell engineer who became the hero of his caste. For 8 years, he's kept his cherished Terran Second Legion blacksmiths intact. In this war, gold may hold a monopoly on super soldiers and military doctrine, but we have one on creativity. Wary as I am to admit it, much of that is thanks to Harnassus. I've had brilliant commanders, stupid commanders, and bloody commanders, but finding a steady commander is as rare as an honest man in a silver guild house. If only this steady commander didn't have ambitions of one day sitting in my wife's chair. Formally speaking, he is the arch-imperator of this army, and I am an outlaw. It was Harnassus whom the Senate formally anointed my successor when I went rogue. Orion, they knew, was far too loyal to me. And it was Harnassus who, either for political gain or out of pedantic obedience to the law, overruled Orion and sent nearly half the fleet back to Luna, setting the stage for Atlantia's attack on the remnant. Gone are the days when he could sit at any table and chew the fat with the infantry. The men, like Orion, blame him for this. But in the end, it wasn't Harnassus who chose to invade Mercury. That's on me. Look at that, the myth and his puppy. Harnassus's orange eyes dance over Rona and me, as if he knows a private joke. Have you come to join me in my northern banishment? You're behind schedule, Imperator, I say with a salute. He returns a half-hearted one and spits out a stream of tobacco juice. It freezes in his tangled beard. Then the schedule's wrong. He scratches his head and pulls out a hair. Not that he can spare many. My lads are worked to the bone for this damn insanity you and the airhead cooked up. I jerk my head to the engineers that disembark from the steaming shuttles. That's why I brought more. The 17th is all yours. Their storm engine in the waist is primed and ready. Orion has had 4 of hers in the Sycorax burning 2 clicks deep for a week. He frowns. There's 5 others. You might have told me. There are 6 others. Operational security is paramount. Fancy way of saying you don't trust me. I trusted you with this one, didn't I? So much you came yourself. 7 all told, then. His mind goes to work. How hot's that witch's cauldron? 40? 41? 43 Celsius. Orion says, as she comes off the pale behind me. Her 6 storm pilots flank her. I hide my irritation. She was supposed to wait. Harnassus eyes her. Privately, he expressed his doubts of her mental readiness for duty. Publicly, he salutes his equal rank. I was rounding, he says. Well, Your kind can afford to round, not you who does the dying.
Surprised to see you in the field, Imperator Aquarii.
Anassus wheels those slumped shoulders toward me.
Why is she here?
I'll tell you in the briefing.
Right, operational security. Well, their meteorologists will have caught that spike, Aquarii. Might be evil little brainwashed warlocks, but they ain't fools like the two of you.
Flying in the same shuttle. Shit.
What if the Fear Knight got both of you?
Then your dreams would come true, Orion says, and you'd lead the army. My engines are along the volcanic range. Your warlocks will think it's hydrothermal vents. They'll never suspect it could creep to 50 Celsius.
Then what the hell do you need this one for?
Total control, Orion says.
Total control?
Onassis's suspicions of being kept in the dark are confirmed. He glowers back at the engine.
Didn't you two read the stories? Pandora doesn't like it when you play with her box.
Orion regards him with as much respect as Sevra would a particularly small turd. Pandora was a fiction written by men to blame the miseries of the world on women. I am not a fiction. So, can we see the merchandise? Or do you want to stand here bickering semantics and freezing our dicks off as I pretend 100,000 of my sailors didn't die for your political wet dreams? The two unmovable objects glare at each other.
You two done? I ask. Yeah, you're done. I want that machine in the air. Now.
The ice is the color of cold lips as the men and women of the famed second swarm over the metal hull of an unearthed colossus. Imprisoned for centuries in the ice, the curvature of the machine's top hull, nearly a kilometer in diameter, is warped and rife with fissures. Onassis roves the perimeter of the dig site, bellowing gear slang. He's been in a state of agitation since Orion and her blues entered the machine more than 2 hours ago. The master maker, Glerastes, stands wrapped in the fur of a polar bear. Lean, bald, and as cruel-looking as a vulture, the most famous artificer in the society wrinkles his nose and sniffs a line of demon dust from a dispenser. Orange, like Harnassus, he is of an entirely different class. One that rubbed shoulders with gold autarchs and sculpted libraries and arcane devices for their pleasure, from Mercury to Luna. He is not of the Rising, though his cooperation was vital for my reign on the planet.
You've worked a miracle, I say to him. A miracle, he says.
The Master Maker snorts in derision, and to claim the last of the narcotics from the right nostril of his hooked nose.
When you took this planet, you said in 1 year's time I would weep in joy at the fruits a single year of liberty would bring. Peer upon this visage, young warlord. Is it one in thrall to joy?
Year's not up yet, I say. These machines are of a primordial power not in concert with human affairs, he says, turning to me with that withering, pinched gaze.
Considering my labors, I trust your promise holds.
Before my legions took the planet, I made a promise to Glerastes to avoid bombardment of population centers. Because of that promise, hundreds of thousands of my men died in our reign, but millions of civilians were kept from the crossfire. That I honored the promise despite its dire cost is the only reason he trusts me enough to help restart the arcane tech within the engines. That and his fear of what Atalantia will do to collaborators, especially ones as famous as Glerastes, the master maker of Mercury. The promise I made him, then, has extended to the storm gods. It holds, I say. We won't exceed primary horizon.
I will not be party to genocide. You know what will happen if, believe it or not, Mercury is as valuable to my cause as its people are to your sterling heart.
He senses my sarcasm and scowls.
Gods know why Octavia kept these infernal beasts enchained, he says, turning back to the engine with a gaze that is equal parts adoration, envy, and fear. Even the Votum did not know what lay beneath the surface of their planet. Even I did not know.
I hope that means Atalantia does not know. Why does a gold do anything? I ask him. For control.
The storm gods are leftover weather shapers from the terraforming of the planet. They worked in lockstep with the Lovelock engines to make Mercury habitable. It took my wife 4 years and the labor of 200 greens to crack Octavia's crescent vault in the Citadel. The secret treasures we found inside were worth a fleet of starships. I'm betting 10 million lives that Octavia was too paranoid to let anyone but blood in on her family secrets. Glerastis stares at the storm god, as if waiting for its colossal mass to whisper a secret to him. Then he crosses his arms and recedes into the depths of his mental labyrinth. The Maker is a temperamental genius, but he cares about the people of this planet. Thank the Veil for that. At the wail of a siren, the blacksmiths begin evacuation of the pit via gravlifts. Above, the last of the claw drills drift through the air, ferried by heavy-duty cargo haulers bound south, to be stored at our supply depot in Heliopolis. Orion and her Blues are the last to depart the engine. The engineers watch territorially as they float back to me on a grav sled. Glerastis sips the coffee his slave brings.
Hardware is installed and operational, Orion says. So much for Harnassus's whinging. Work to the bone, indeed. His blacksmiths did fine work. For greasers.
They're doped out of their minds, Glerastis adds.
He's right. If I were younger, I'd think valiant rage or purpose kept them steady. But I'm not the only one light on sleep. My army is a band of marionettes, held up by strings called Nazopran, Dolomine, and Zolodone. Will it work? I ask Glerastis.
I ran 5 million simulations, only 2 million of which ended in the engines imploding, killing all aboard, Glerastis says. So in theory, yes.
Comforting, I mutter.
Harnassus trudges over, trying to catch our conversation. Will you do the honors, Imperator? I ask. This is your monster. You wake it up.
He tosses the control pad to me.
Annoyed, I activate the flight protocol. Harnassus doesn't even watch to see the gravity engines flare underneath the ancient machine. For a dreadful moment, nothing happens. I stare down.
Rise, you bastard, rise!
I told you it was a mistake, including Harnassus, Orion whispers. He thought this was the only engine. He sabotaged it.
He's an ass, not a traitor, I say.
Then the storm god lets loose a terrible groan as it feels the force of Sun Industries' gravity engines urging it to waken from its slumber. Except for Harnassus, all the aides and commanders beside me step back.
With a shriek of metal, the machine begins to rise, climbing up and up until it hangs 100 meters above, blocking the roof of the man-made cavern.
Until its gravity engines created a languid field of low gravity beneath it, suspending blocks of ice. Soon, the engine will be ready to join its brethren in the sea.
I smile in satisfaction.